Blog Talk Radio.
We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. We have to have a passion for unity in order to take back what's been stolen from us. Are you ready? It's time to tear down a plan of the enemy. Hallelujah! Because we are the church.
Let the church unite.
Take back the sky.
Well, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Good afternoon, and God bless each and every one of you who has taken the time out to stop and listen to the anointed word of God today by way of our Blog Talk Radio broadcast entitled, Come Together for Change. Come together for change. You need to know that God sees and cares about everything that happens in our lives. Remember, you are very special to God, and he will always hear you and answer your prayers, but only in his time frame. He wants to show himself strong in and through you. He has given you his Holy Spirit to equip you in this life. Today, I just want to encourage you to stay in faith and don't get negative towards yourself or your future. Today is Monday, May the 16th, 2016, and my name is Senior Chaplain Shalia Griffith. I am your co-host together with my awesome and amazing husband, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith, our host for Come Together for a Change. Our radio broadcast is aired every Monday afternoon from 3:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Eastern Pacific Standard Time. And it is sponsored by our ministries, which God has given us. One is Men in Search of Change, and the other one, HWG Outreach Center for Change International. Now, we are so happy that you have turned into our anointed Blog Talk Radio program, and we just want to let you know that you are welcome anytime. And even if you can, tell a neighbor or tell a friend, tell a family member to tune in with us every Monday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. I just want to certainly welcome all of our faithful listeners, our brand-new listeners, and our devoted partners. We truly have an awesome, awesome blessing prepared for you today. Absolutely. Our inspiration for this week is, today, let the Holy Spirit help you when you feel weak. Let him empower you with truth that will set you free. Stay in faith and don't get negative towards yourself or your future. Let God take what you think is a liability and turn it into an asset. Let him take what you think is a disadvantage and turn that around to be an advantage. Remember, you are more than a conqueror today and every day. Why? Because God is strong in you. No matter what today has in store, as a believer in Jesus, you can approach today with boldness and confidence. Because the Lord is with you, and in him is everything you need in this life. That means if you need provision for something today, provision is with you. If you need wisdom today, wisdom is with you. If you need strength, joy, or peace today, it is with you as well. You can be confident today, knowing that all of your needs are supplied spiritually, physically, and emotionally because the Lord is with you. And best of all, his promises never leave you. Isn't it good to know that you will always have whatever you need anytime you need it? Praise God. Our topic for this week again is the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, there is power, and it is in the Holy Ghost. And for our scripture today, if you get your Bibles out, it's coming from Acts, the first chapter, and the 8th verse, and it reads as follows. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and he shall be a witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Our message today, the power of the Holy Ghost. At this time, we are going to receive our special blessing, which is coming directly from God through our host of Come Together for Change, Senior Chaplain Elder Hudson W. Griffith.
Thank you very much, Shalia. It's a wonderful privilege of mine to come your way another day. And it's wonderful to know that Jesus Christ is alive, and since he's alive, we're able to communicate with him. And once we're able to communicate with him via the medium of prayer, we know that he hears all prayers. We know that he answers all prayers. We know that he is with us. And this week has been the commemoration of the 50th day, as we say. It's the after 50th day after Easter, and we are talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, when Jesus was alive, he spoke primarily to people about the power of the Holy Ghost. In every chapter of the New Testament, In Matthew, we hear when Jesus was being baptized, to be baptized in water. We hear that in St. Matthew's Gospel, we hear the Holy Spirit coming upon him, and he says, "I indeed, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, but there is one coming, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Okay, it's in John. It is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when Jesus arose from the grave and he came to his disciples, they said unto him, "Well, is this the time for us to look forward to the coming of the Holy Spirit, of the kingdom of God, as it were?" And Jesus said unto them, look, in Acts chapter 1, which my wife just read, he was very, very sure of himself, and he made it quite clear what the situation was. And he said unto them, look, it is not for you to know the times, right, or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, I want to get your mind acquainted with this word power. Power is not another word for authority. It's another word for dominion. So in order to find out why it is that the power of the Holy Ghost was so important, I want my wife to read for me Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27.
And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." 27.
Yep.
So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
Verse 28.
And 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply unto them. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth."
Okay. We see when God made man back in the Garden of Eden, he had one intention for man. Man was to have dominion. Man was to have power. Man was to have authority over every other creature, over every other living thing. He was to subdue, and he was to subdue it. And he was to have authority or dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that move up upon the earth. Now, if I was to ask you, do man have dominion over the fish of the sea? I don't know what you will say, but I would have to say no. That is why sharks are so vicious. That's why whales are so vicious. That is why when you go into the sea, you have to know whether there are sharks there or not. Because man no longer has dominion. He no longer has authority. He no longer has power over the fish of the sea, over all the creeping things, because we know snakes are not the best things to live among, because they are very dangerous. So we see that God's intention was that man should have power, he should have authority, he should have dominion over all living things. But what happened? Well, we have to see what happened. Because God made man with the knowledge of good. He had no knowledge of evil. Because we see that in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. But in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." You see that? Man was made with one condition. The one condition was that he could eat of all the fruit on the trees in the garden. But of the tree of good and evil, he could not eat of it. He should not eat of it, because God told him that in the day that they eat of it, they shall surely die. So there's just one condition in the garden. You eat of all the fruit trees, but not of the fruit tree of good and evil. And we see here in chapter 3, we see an interesting situation. And in chapter 3, the woman, Eve, had a confrontation with the serpent or the devil. And in verse 4 to verse 7, we read an interesting encounter here between the devil and this woman Eve. Read from verse 4.
4, "And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And 6, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron."
Okay, what do we see here? God made man and gave him dominion and power and authority over everything. But there was one condition, that you shouldn't, what are the fruit of the tree of good and evil, they were not to eat. And we see that Eve had an encounter with Satan, the devil, Lucifer, or whatever name you want to call him. And he said unto her, look, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, he has said, thou shalt not eat of it, nor touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, here is the deception that the devil is bringing to Eve. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. You see, the devil comes to deceive. The devil comes to cause us to lie. The devil comes to take away the dominion that God has given us. The devil comes to make us uncomfortable. And he enticed the woman that she should eat of this a tree of life, the tree of good and evil. And she was so deceived when she did eat of it. Their eyes were both open, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You see, because all of a sudden now, they had come into an understanding of good and evil. When God made man, he did not know anything about evil. He only knew good. But here it is, once the serpent deceived them, they came into an understanding of what was evil. And when they came into the understanding, they discovered that they were naked because their eyes were open, as it were. And they came into the understanding of what was evil. And as a result, they lost what God had given to them, the pureness. God had given them the pureness, and that they couldn't, and that they would not have to worry about evil. But when they ate of the fruit, they realized that there was something wrong. Immediately they lost dominion. They lost the authority. They lost the power that God had given them, because God had said, "You shall not eat of this tree." And once they were not willing to obey what God had said, they lost dominion, they lost authority, they lost the power that they had over every living thing. And as a result, they came under the domination of Satan, the enemy of their souls, and they lost everything that God had given to them. Well, it's important for us to understand this, because this is where the power of the Holy Ghost came in to replenish, to bring back what they had before. Okay? And how did this come? If we read in Joel, I think it's Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel chapter 2, verse 28.
And it shall come to pass.
Yeah.
Afterwards, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned unto darkness, and the moon unto blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be delivered, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call.
Okay, we see here in the Old Testament, Joel prophesying that in the last days God will pour out of his spirit upon what? All flesh, not some. Because in the Old Testament, it was the prophets of old on whom God's spirit was outpoured, in which he would speak to them. So it was just a select few that would hear the voice of God. But here now, Joel prophesying and saying, "Look, man, in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon whom? Upon all flesh." Okay. And we hear that John the Baptist prophesying and saying that indeed the Holy Spirit shall be outpoured upon Jesus, and Jesus will have the power and authority. And he did have the power and authority. Now, in those days, it was not everybody that had the power and authority. When Jesus came, he was different. He showed he had the power and authority. Right? And as a result, he was able to tell them that, look, in the last days, you shall have this same power and authority that I now have. And so it was important to understand this, that they had the power and authority. As a matter of fact, when Jesus rose from the grave in St. Mark's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 8, verse 17, he said, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Okay, we hear Jesus saying this to his disciples when he rose from the grave. As a matter of fact, we have to understand the importance of this power, this authority. We have to understand it, because if we don't understand it, we'll miss what God said to Joel about the last days. So it's important. I think in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 18, we hear something about the power there.
"And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." You want 19 and 20?
Yes.
"Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world."
Amen. Okay, so we hear Jesus here making some significant pronouncements, right? First, in St. Mark, Gospel, chapter 16, he says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. And in my name they shall cast out devils." That's the first sign of the believer. "In my name they shall cast out devils." And he said, "They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them." And then we see Jesus again speaking about the power, right? Because it's important to understand the use of power. Power and authority is given unto all men. But to power and authority to do what? That's important. Power and authority, because they lost this power and authority when they disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. So now we're seeing that this power is being restored to them. And that is important. That's what he said in the scripture my wife just read in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power, all dominion, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Now you have the power, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And so he had power, and now he was giving this power back to the disciples, right? The disciples now were having this power restored to them, and the restoration of the power was necessary because they now had this power to cast out devils, because Jesus had said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." So we see that the power or the authority was given to them now to deal with the devils, because Jesus had said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." And the first sign of the believer was to cast out devils. And we see in the book of Acts, when Jesus was risen from the grave, right, in verse 7 of chapter 1, Acts 1, it says, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive this power." This power that I arose from the grave with, this power which was restored, this power which I now have dominion and authority over the powers of darkness, "and you shall be witnesses unto me." So the power of the Holy Ghost was given so that we would be witnesses unto him. And the disciples were witnesses. As a matter of fact, it was on the day of Pentecost when the power of the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And what is one of the most significant things that happened? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to do what? speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So we see that this power was given to them so that they could speak with tongues and they could be filled with the Holy Ghost so that they can know how to do what God would have them to do. And it is important that we understand that when this power came, they were able to cast out demons. They were able to speak to demons. They were able to speak unto those that had evil spirits, and they departed. All the disciples that were filled with the Holy Ghost had this power. And therefore, they were able, one of the main things that we see with the disciples, the first thing is that they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues. And then again, it was not just that one time on the day of Pentecost. No, it was not. And we see that the disciples, the second time was in Acts chapter 10, verse 25. And Peter spoke unto these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard these words, and they of the circumcision which believe were astonished. Okay, that is in the second time. And the third time that they spake in tongues was when Peter again spoke to them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spake with other tongues. What am I saying? I'm saying that the power of the Holy Ghost, or the authority of the Holy Ghost, or the power or the authority or dominion was now restored to the church. After that, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm suggesting to you this evening that the power of the Holy Ghost is restored to the church to be able to pull down demons, to be able to pull down strongholds, or to be able to take authority over evil spirits. If you are a believer, and you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that you, the dominion that God gave to his children, Adam and Eve, and the beginning, can be restored to you. Do you want that dominion restored to you? Do you want that authority restored to you? Do you want that power restored to you, that you can speak to demons and they will leave? That you can speak to demons and they will have to go? You have that authority if you are filled with the Holy Ghost. And God wants his believers to understand this and to be able to do what he has given them the authority to do, to cast out devils, to speak with other tongues, etc. So God wants you to be able to know that you have this power. Do you know that you have this power? Because if you have this power, you can deal with the demons in your own life, in your own home. You can deal with the demons that are tormenting you in your mind, the demons that have been passed down to you. You can deal with these demons because you now have the power and dominion and the authority over them. And I want you to know today that no demon could take authority over you. I want you to know that you have the power. And because you have this power, you can deal with these demons. And because Jesus cast out demons, as a matter of fact, Jesus cast out more demons than he did anything else. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. And Jesus wants you to have that, this power and authority. Do you know if you have it or not? People say that you can't have this power. I'm telling you, you can have this power, because Jesus said these signs shall follow who? Them that believe. If you are a believer and you are filled and you are born again, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to know that this power is for you. I trust that your life will be changed as you listen to the power of the Holy Ghost speaking to you and returning to you the dominion that Jesus gave you. I want you to know right now that if you ask God to come into your life and to remove the doubts and the fears, he's able to do it and give you this power and dominion over the evil spirits that have been tormenting your life. Ask God to do it, and he will give it to you. God bless you. Have a pleasant afternoon. praise.
We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but it's mighty in Christ for the pulling down of strongholds. We have to have a passion for unity in order to take back what's been stolen from us. Are you ready? It's time to tear down every plan of the enemy. Hallelujah! Because we are the church. Don't you? Let the church unite. Take back this country from the hand of the enemy. Let the church unite. Get up and up.